This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Lucky to be here for it today. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but when I saw a cheese twist earlier on today, little was I to think that that would be the thing that nearly ended me.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, honestly. Maybe it's karma for picking up a piece of food that I didn't really need, but on the side in the office earlier on at lunchtime was a plate of cheese twists that had been left out for work people to eat. So I'm thinking, I'd already had my lunch by that point. I thought, what, a cheese twist? You're never going to look one of them, you know, in the eye and not have it, are you?
No, that's a very good point.
Picked it up and started eating it. And then a little bit of pastry must have got caught just down the side of my throat. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't shift that. And you started to cough.
Yeah.
And then you really start to cough. And then you can feel little beads of sweat. And then you're thinking, oh, actually, I'm getting quite hot here, and I really can't shift this. Oh. And now, actually, I can't, like, really breathe. Thinking, oh, no, this is it. It's a cheese twist that ends me after all of this.
Wouldn't it be a terrible way to go as well? I always feel like, because those panics with, like, choking on food happen a lot when you're, like, you're the only person in the house.
Yes.
And you're eating without concentrating properly. Yeah. But what a way to go in your lounge.
But isn't this the thing about modern-day life? This was in the office, but everyone just works with headphones on these days.
I said they're all on Zoom meetings for people who are working from home.
As I'm coughing away, and like, guys, dying here, cheese twist is killing me.
Well, I mean,
no one's doing a thing.
What about as well? I mean, I don't want to have a go at millennials, but how many of these millennials that we work with, how many of them are even aware of what the Heimlich manoeuvre is? Can they Heimlich?
I know.
We've got a wall chart of people who are kind of first aiders and stuff like that, but can people do the Heimlich these days?
But when it comes down to it, it was just a cheese twist. One of the most innocent things that has possibly nearly ended me.
That's what they are, though, isn't it?
Always the innocent things. You never see the threat.
Well, I mean, for me, I still think about this a fair old bit. We went on a lad's holiday to Spain, Nerja in Spain, right? And this is in the late 90s. And we went out to a nightclub in the mountains one night. Had loads of beers and all this kind of stuff. Couldn't find a taxi, so we walked home at, like, it was probably like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, absolutely pitch black. And the ground was really uneasy. We were cutting cross country trying to get back. Anyway, didn't think too much about it. Got back, went to bed. I went for a bit of a walk the next day altogether, and we kind of retraced our steps back towards the nightclub. And we realised that we walked through the edge of, like, a building site in, like, a canyon.
Wow.
But we had no idea that
just
literally a couple of footsteps that way could have been. That would have been it for us.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have been here telling you that amazing story. It's going to be turned into a thing on Netflix at the end of the year. They nearly died.
Trev says, vitamin pill nearly got for my wife. Lodged in her windpipe. Had to do the Heimlich manoeuvre to save her. She did tell me afterwards my hands had been in the wrong position, naturally.
Oh, my words. I mean, are you sure they're not trying to eat those dissolvable ones?
Vitamin pills.
You know, when you get a vitamin tablet, you put it in some water like Barocca or whatever, and then it bubbles up.
Yeah.
You do hear about some people eating them, they're like sweets, thinking that they, you're not supposed, not realise you're supposed to put them in water first. Do clarify, because that's quite a big mistake, if so. Look, as mentioned earlier on, you could be winning the Isle of Wight Festival tickets all week on breakfast and here on Home Time. But if you want to see the legendary ZZ Top, they need to head online right now to absoluteradio.co.uk. You know, this is all part of 10 weeks of tickets, where we have tickets for the likes of Stevie Nicks, Kasabian, Kendall Calling and the Reading Festival all in the next few weeks, so make sure you keep listening.
Donna, what's your dramatic tale?
My husband was eating a bag of chocolate Revels and did that stupid thing where they throw it in the air and catch it in the mouth, and he choked on it, and it was going blue, literally going blue, and I was seconds away from calling an ambulance and managed to get behind him and perform the Heimlich manoeuvre, and it popped out.
But I mean, like, you get loads of people who do that trick where they throw something in the air and try and catch it and everything. But I mean, this goes back to, like, what a way to go. Imagine, God forbid, if something bad had happened to him, what a terrible way to go. You can't put that on his gravestone.
He died on a revel.
But the thing is, he's actually done what he was trying to do too well, because I think people that normally do that, obviously the revel might go in and hit a tooth and ricochet into the mouth. But what your husband has done is caught it absolutely perfectly, so it's missed all teeth, missed the tongue, missed the side of the mouth, and gone straight down into the gullet. And that's because he's been too good at it, that's what's caused the choking.
He's never had a revel since, that's it. He's learned the error of his ways. Tell him to stay off him and try Maltesers until he's built up the courage, okay?
I'll tell him. Thank you. The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Fiona says, a lettuce leaf from my starter at my work's Christmas do. Everyone looking as my breathing got worse. The first aider started heading towards me to Heimlich me when I cleared it with a glug of my drink.
Chardonnay or something. I'm thinking, again, there's a theme here, right?
Yeah.
And it's under our nose. It's picnic food.
It is, isn't it?
Stuff
that
you eat outdoors on a picnic mat, incredibly dangerous for you. Although this one isn't. And I have to say, the other current theme in this first hour of Home Time Tonight is that there's a bit of drama queenery going on here, if that is a phrase.
Are you saying that I was a drama queen?
No, just a tiny bit.
Cheese twist.
Well, you've been so-so that some of the people that have come in afterwards have been quite bad. Alan says, trapped under the ice! Exclamation
Whoa.
Mark. I was opening a large bag of ice cubes at a party when it split open. In a panic, I leaned backwards and fell on my back covered in ice cubes.
Right.
So I was literally trapped under the ice.
Right.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Our producer, Nick, is just bold as brass eating some breadsticks with a dip in front of Richie, who nearly died earlier on
yes,
a cheese twist.
Exactly.
It's the last thing he wants to see.
Do you know what? I didn't out him earlier, but he was one of the people that was sat nearby while I was choking on a cheese twist and just had headphones on, doing nothing.
I believe it's called fiddling as Rome burns.
Exactly. Tell us about the innocent items that nearly ended you.
Katie says, a baby nearly ended me. I was a nanny for a gorgeous baby boy. We saw his parents off one morning, then sat down to play. In an excited moment, he threw his head back and my windpipe caught the full force. I remember being on my hands and knees gasping for air and not getting any, thinking that no one could find us until the next day. I could see him crawling around as my vision started fading, wondering what he'd do with full range of the house. Luckily, I managed to start breathing again and called a friend with my very croaky voice, begged for help. She arrived a few minutes later and we lived to tell the tale.
Who'd have thought? A
Incredible.
Baby.
I know.
Faye, tell us your story.
It was a jelly top. I was literally sitting at my computer, munching away at a bag of jelly tots, just happily typing away. And I can't remember, it was a couple of years ago, but I'd read something and I inhaled in like sort of shock that what I was reading. And as I inhaled, this jelly tot just made its way down into my right lung. And obviously, I was coughing and my daughter was panicking. I couldn't breathe. I was going red and blue in the face.
Wow.
Everybody was laughing until I got to the hospital and they actually said, no, it is actually lodged in, right at the top of your lung. So we've got to x-ray you to make sure it's melted away. And we're going to have to give you antibiotics because it's a foreign object.
Can I just ask?
Just a drama.
I'm thinking jelly babies here, but what is a jelly tot?
Jelly tots I can't believe you've never seen jelly tots. It's probably the size of the nail on your little finger.
But what is it though?
Just jelly. Yeah. They're little round discs of jelly.
Really?
Yeah, they're amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Producer Nick, show me a photo of them now. Wow, look at that in your lung.
They've actually made them bigger now because people were inhaling them like me.
It's called the phase clause.
I think it might be.
Wow. I want to defend jelly tots here because I ate a lot of jelly tots as a kid and I never got anywhere
any
near
trouble.
Inhaling them whatsoever.
Just takes one. Hey, I tell you what though, Faye, I bet all the people who work at that hospital have probably got 90% of their stories about, you know, people accidentally landing on tomato ketchup bottles, but a few of them are about you and your jelly tots.
Yeah, it was very embarrassing and I was in my late 30s and sitting there stuffing my face with jelly tots and I've never eaten one since.
Is that what people mean when they say it went down the wrong way? Because I didn't know that something from your mouth could end up in your lung.
Well, apparently that's an urban myth. Stuff can't go down the wrong way, but I think Faye is living proof that things very much can go the wrong way.
Well, it took 3 x-rays to make sure it was gone, so it definitely went down the wrong way.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
I'll tell you what you can't escape. The European Championships, Euro 2024, just days away now. That's right, folks, more football. The first game of the tournament hosts Germany, take on Scotland, a kind of David versus Goliath affair. That's in Munich on Friday. So this tournament that seemed like it's ages away is now literally just around the corner. Very excited about it. But you know what the best thing is about the start of a major sporting tournament? And I don't just mean football, you mean Olympics going on in Paris and when Wimbledon starts, that kind of thing. It's the excitement when people start talking about it and it's all they talk about around and about, whether you're getting your hair cut or you're in a bus queue or standing to wait for a coffee and work. People chatting about stuff. And I think we deserve a welcome distraction from some of the stresses of the year that, you know, or past couple of years that everyone's had. And it's that stuff that takes you away from all the murky money nonsense that currently surrounds football at the moment. If we can just focus on the Euros for a second. And it takes you back to the source, doesn't it? That childhood love, where everything's a bit more simple. and there's no well, back then there wasn't VAR or, you know, murky background, shady organisations buying football teams and all that kind of stuff. And football was on when you got back from school. Do you remember that? And the game was on when you got back in from school and you were doing the whole Panini football trading card sticker thing. And I think most importantly, and this is the reason why we're getting excited about a summer of sport coming up, is it makes you want to go and play it. So do you remember when Wimbledon was on, there was like you badger and your parents to go and get a Andre Agassi-style metal tennis racket, or the Rugby World Cup, you want to go and throw an egg in the garden. And finally, football, you just want to go to the park, do that thing where you hoik a ball and go and chase it like a dog and just go and play. Do you know what I mean?
I don't want to be biased, but that's the thing that's, for me, that's what sets football apart. That's why I'm excited about the Euros starting very, very soon. It's a big old celebration of a sport that is so simple.
Yes, I mean, totally.
You've got the cliche of jumpers for goalposts, but I mean, at primary school, we would roll up a load of socks to make a football if no one had brought a ball into school. But that's the great thing about it. If you've got a ball and you've got a couple of tops, you've got a game with jumpers for goalposts.
You saw it.
Yeah, you're away.
Ryan says, guys, I've got a group of mates who are old and probably a bit overweight, but we'd love to get together and play some amateur or maybe below amateur level football against you. Just let us know, set the time and date, and we'll be there. And that kind of Batman symbol in the clouds thing, it just sums up, well, the eye of Thunder of a Thundercats, shows what it's like when you've got sport on the horizon. It makes people want to get together and do stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Ryan and his mates should roll up a load of school socks and make a football like we used to, or the jumpers of a goalpost. Or it reminds me, actually, if you talk about improvised sporting equipment, what me and my brothers would do at home during the summer, particularly when Wimbledon was on, because you got that 2 weeks where suddenly everyone's fussed about tennis, and we would get my mum's sun loungers out of the shed. There was two, and you'd fully extend them flat, put them side by side, and then you had a tennis net.
It's like an improvised centre court.
Exactly, that's what it was in our minds. Brownie, the maths teacher, says when we were kids, we used to make cricket pads out of cardboard and string, the really thin stuff. But, he says, we still play with a proper cricket ball. Absolutely killed you when you took one on the shin. Didn't really care. Later played cricket to a serious level, but was never out LBW it's because he's been schooled by the cardboard and string pads.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Now, it's been a dramatic show today. It started off with a near-death experience for me. A simple cheese twist that had been left on the side in the office nearly ended me. Went down the wrong way, choking away. All the people around me in the office working with their headphones on, doing absolutely nothing because they couldn't hear me choke.
Imagine that, just like you in the background just keel over and everyone just carries on working and typing.
Near-death experience. And we were getting you to get in touch with the things, the innocent little things that nearly took you towards your maker. There was one lady who got in touch with us who said that she ate a jelly tot and it ended up in her lung. we started exploring the whole myth of things going down the wrong way. You described it as an urban myth, I seem to remember.
I believe it's an urban myth. I believe it is.
Well, this is a show that never likes to stand in the way of facts. So we've got the actual science of it right now. From Fran, who's with us on the phone. Actual science, Fran?
Yeah, actual science. So usually ends up in the right main bronchus because the main airway, like from your trachea into your right lung.
Yeah.
And it's because it's more vertically positioned than the left side.
Wow. So, Fran, have you got keen interest in human anatomy or do you work in this field?
No, I'm a respiratory nurse.
Oh, wow. So you really would know. So the lady earlier who we spoke to who had a jelly tot end up in her right lung, have you seen other jelly tots in lungs?
So, no. There's plenty of wild stories from doctors that I've worked with over the years, but no jelly tots.
Okay, what's any weird stuff you've had to remove from someone's lung? Because I never thought I'd ask this on a radio phone.
I've never had to remove anything from anyone's lung. Obviously, it's what the doctors do.
Okay,
certain medical equipment they'd remove.
What about Vicks vapor rub? You know when you do Vicks up your nose? I'm sure it was given the size of my nose. If I over aggressively sniffed that, it could go up there, couldn't it?
I mean, I'm sure anything is possible. The body does weird and wonderful things, doesn't it?
Well, there's a competition for phone time and home time in a few weeks. Will it fit up Bush's nose?
And where it all started, what about cheese twists?
Cheese twists, I mean, I've never seen one, but I'm sure it could end up in there.
Medical firsts on this here Home Time show.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to let you go rather than just asking you different things that possibly could have ended up in someone's lung. But we appreciate you coming on the show. Take it easy.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Hi to Jill from Northamptonshire. She's texted to say, hi, Andy and Richie. Very formal.
Very.
I nearly choked on a fizzy sweet whilst watching Hamilton at the Bristol Hippodrome. No sooner had I put it in my mouth, the sugar immediately hit the back of my throat, taking my breath away. Trying to choke quietly so I didn't disturb the performance was a challenge.
That's very responsible.
Very responsible right to the bitter end.
Gary, what was it for you?
Gobstopper, yeah.
Gobstopper. Now, there's a sweet from the olden days, if ever I heard of one.
And what I was doing... You remember shrink fit Levi jeans?
Yeah, I do, but with a figure like this, you don't generally get into too many shrink fit things.
Is that the one where you sit in the bath? Is that right?
Yeah, sat in my auntie's bath, because we never had a bath. We only had a shower in our house. So I trawled over to my auntie's, and so I sat in the bath, all the water went blue, popped a gobstopper in my mouth to sit there for half hour or whatever. And then the water went cold, so I went and sat up to put some more warm water in, and like a gobstopper went backwards. As I went forwards, it went backwards down my throat, got stuck in my throat.
Oh, dear.
And I'm going, like that. And she's coming in, going, what's that? And so she started screaming, and then a neighbour came in and like dragged me out of the bath. I'm out of the office, and he's trying to give me the Heimlich manoeuvre very badly over the sink. I mean, like, I just swallowed it. It went pop, like, down my throat. My eyes are streaming. I'm like, water, tears coming out of my eyes and everything. Like,
wow. Yeah. Imagine going over to your auntie's house to sit in a bath and shrink your jeans. Imagine arranging that.
Yes.
Different times, isn't it?
She's a good auntie, bless her. Like, she loved me a bit.
Now, Gary, this whole question was an innocent item that nearly ended up ending you. What are you claiming is the innocent item? Are you claiming it to be the jeans or the gobstopper? Because a sweet that is called a gobstopper, I think, has an innate element of danger in it.
Yeah, but like when you're like teenage kids, like 12, 13, 14, whatever it was, it's just a sweet, isn't it? You know? And then like your tongue goes blue or red or whatever colour one you got, and like, you know.
Gary, have you ever had a gobstopper or tried to shrink fit jeans since then?
No.
Okay, good lad, he's learned.
He's learned, yeah.
They didn't shrink anyway.
After all that.